And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Got a big program in store for you today. And I want to start off, first of all, by thanking those of you who have responded to our offer. We're glad to have you at our May 12th Stand Awards Dinner in Tysons Corner, Virginia. I want you to know that we do still have tickets available to the American Family Radio table. There is a table for American Family Radio listeners set aside for you. So we still have some seats available at that table. All you've got to do to take advantage of that is call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. Only two tickets per person, please. And please give us your name, your email, and your telephone number, and contact information for your guest, or at least who your guest is, even if not contact information. At least we need to know who your guest is going to be if you're bringing a second person. And we look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be a wonderful event, folks. If you listen to my personal podcast, E.W. Jackson for America, you are going to see a special edition of that this coming Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with Marjorie Dannenfelser, who is one of our honorees at the dinner. It is a tremendous interview. You want to tune into that. She is the president of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America organization, and she is a real pro-life hero in our country, and so we're honoring her with the George Washington Award for taking a stand. And then, of course, we have the others. Richard Viguerie, who is one of the founding members of the modern conservative movement, one of the founders, really, of the modern conservative movement. We're honoring Charlie Kirk with a posthumous award. Turning Point USA representatives will be there to receive that. We're honoring Bishop Patrick L. Wooten, great man of God out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Believe me, I said, if you don't know who he is, just Google him or look at YouTube. He is an outspoken herald for truth. He no holds barred, you know. So, and I have nothing but admiration for him. So it is going to be a great event. I said, I get them all, Richard Viguerie, Marjorie Dannenfelser, Bishop Patrick L. Wooten, and who am I leaving anybody out? You know, actually, I don't think I am. Let me just make sure here. I said three, right? And I just gave you three? I couldn't possibly. But just in case, let me just double check here and make sure that I didn't leave anybody out. No, I got them all in. Charlie Kirk posthumous, Marjorie Dannenfelser, Bishop Patrick Wooten, and Richard Viguerie. So, yeah, got them all in. And if you don't want to call us, you can do this by email at awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. It's going to be a tremendous event. That's Tuesday, May the 12th. That's one day short of 3 weeks from the time you are probably listening or watching this program on American Family Radio on AFR.net. It will post, this program posts on the 22nd of April, and of course the dinner is May 12th, which is, again, just shy of 3 weeks away. Okay, you know, I have been pondering something over the last couple of days that I wanted to share with you, give you a perspective on this. You often hear me hit certain themes. I call the Democrat Party the Democrat Party because in my view, they have become a demonic cult. And again, I don't say that just trying to be cute or to sound, I don't know, mean or anything. I really say that because I think it's an apt description of what has happened. And since I believe that we are not in a political battle so much as a spiritual battle that is being played out in a political arena, but it is a spiritual battle, I think we really need to understand the spiritual dimensions of what we're dealing with, because then we know better how to deal with it. Well, I was reading a few articles in the last couple of days, and it brought something home to me that I may be saying the same thing in a different way, but I think this is insightful. I think it's helpful to think about it this way. By the way, I've not had a chance to talk to you since the former lieutenant governor of Virginia. Remember, we just had an election in Virginia. We elected three Democrats, one of whom is a Muslim, Ghazala Hamshi. But our prior lieutenant governor was a man named Justin Fairfax. And I'm sure you've heard that Justin Fairfax just recently shot and killed his wife and then killed himself with their two children in the home to witness this, or to witness the aftermath of it, even if they didn't witness the actual act. Killed his wife apparently in their basement, went up to, I think, his bedroom and shot himself. And, you know, you've heard me talk about a former Washington Post journalist who was basically dogging Judge Roy Moore and trying to accuse him of all kinds of sexual improprieties. He's now in jail. This reporter, that is now in jail for pedophilia. Another print teacher, a high school principal, who was attacking President Trump and Charlie Kirk, particularly, and accusing them of all kinds of wickedness and evil. He's in jail for child pornography and pedophilia. And then Eric Swalwell, who's just recently been drummed out of Congress and out of the California governor's race, because he is accused of actually having drugged, choked, and raped at least one woman, allegedly. Several women have come forward saying they believe that they were drugged and raped. But one of them says that she remembers being choked and thinking that she was going to die. Now, I realize that is a small smattering, just a few of the many people who are engaged in this demonic cult that they refer to as the Democrat Party. But there is a pattern. And the pattern is one, in my view, of a kind of moral madness. You know, I think we think of insanity, and, you know, we will often refer to this as, you know, these people are crazy. And in fact, didn't President Trump said that recently? He said, these people are crazy. Of course, we don't use that in the clinical sense. But I really believe that there's something called moral madness. Moral madness is not where you're delusional, you're seeing things, you're hearing things. You can function perfectly normally in the workaday world, but moral madness means that your moral and ethical understanding or view borders on the equivalent of mental insanity. So that you're disconnected from the moral human perspective on life. You're disconnected from it. You know what I liken it to? Being a sociopath or a psychopath. In other words, a person who is able to function normally around other people, but there's something so dark and so depraved on the inside of them that they're really living two lives. one life in which they try to show people, see, I'm normal, I'm just like you. But another life in which when you peel back the covers and you peel back the layers, you see a depth of depravity that is so dark that it's frightening. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I am not accusing any Democrat of being a serial killer, but understand the analogy. There have been many serial killers who have been married, working, you know, treating their family relatively well, so nobody in the family was complaining. But the person was a murderer on the side. And when these types are revealed, the family just, they are in utter shock. They cannot believe that the person they thought they knew was a bloodthirsty killer. They can't, I mean, they can't process it. Because that person was not mentally insane. That person was morally insane. Because that person got up every day and went to work. That person put the trash out. That person fed the dogs. That person, you know, cut the lawn. That person went to the supermarket or whatever. Whatever he or she, mainly men, but whatever he would normally do, whatever normal people would do, he would do. Except there's a side in which a side of that person that is so deep and so dark that a normal human being cannot fathom it. Now, again, I'm not accusing any Democrat of being a serial killer. I hope you understand the analogy I'm making because I think it's an appropriate one. Consider this. The Attorney General of Virginia, Jay Jones, fantasized not only about killing his political opponent, Todd Gilbert, who wasn't, by the way, running against him in any office or anything. He was the Speaker of the House of Virginia at the time, Virginia House of Delegates at the time. And apparently Jay Jones hated him so much that he fantasized in writing to a colleague, if I had two bullets and I had Hitler, Pol Pot, and Todd Gilbert, I'd put two bullets in Todd Gilbert's head. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, maybe his attitude would change if his wife watched her children die in her arms. To me, the implication was, and if I killed her two children, killed their children in a way that his wife could watch them die, that might change his attitude. Now, again, folks, am I exaggerating to say normal people don't think that way? Again, people who are morally normal. Because obviously, Jay Jones was able to run for office. Jay Jones was able to hold down a job. Jay Jones was able to do all the things that normal people do. But when you hear a person expressing thoughts like that, you realize that person is not like you and me. That person is not like most people. That's the kind of thinking you would expect to hear from a sociopath or a psychopath, except the likelihood is they would never tell anybody that. They would just keep that in and fantasize until they finally act on it, usually in a way that they don't get caught. You see, but here again, that's the moral madness, the moral insanity I'm talking about. Because again, folks, I've been in politics, involved in politics in one way or another. You know, I've run for office. I hesitate to say it, but I have run four times. Ran twice for U.S. Senate, ran once for Lieutenant Governor, and ran for President of the United States. I've had many political opponents, many people who didn't like me, didn't want to see me win. Most of them, of course, Democrats, but some in the Republican Party who didn't like me, didn't want me to win, didn't want me to run. I mean, I've had some terrible things done to me in an effort to try to upend me, to stop me. I have never, ever had any thoughts anywhere even in the vicinity of killing somebody because they were my political opponent, let alone fantasizing killing their children. That, again, this is what I'm saying. You and I, if you stop and think about that, it is difficult to wrap your mind around it. Because it is so extraordinarily abnormal that you think, how could anybody even, I mean, think that way? It's not that I've had those thoughts and never expressed them. I've never had any thoughts like that. And I would almost guarantee you 99% of the people in the United States of America have never had thoughts of killing somebody's children because they don't like that person, let alone killing the person they don't like. But again, this high level now, he's Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia now. This high level Democrat politician has had those thoughts. And now we've just had news of another high-level former Democrat politician in Virginia who has killed his wife and killed himself in the presence of their children. Now, again, I'm not likening taking that action to even having those thoughts, but you can't completely disconnect the two, can you? Because, again, both are just bizarrely wicked. You know, you almost had this thought that, well, if you're depressed, if you're forlorn, if you feel forsaken, you feel hopeless, and you want to kill yourself, wrong thing to do, but people do that, and we don't necessarily ascribe that to wickedness and evil, because we understand people can be mentally ill and do things to themselves that they would not do unless something was wrong in the way they were thinking. But when you kill somebody else, that takes it to a whole new level, because now you're not just harming yourself, or you're not just trying to get yourself out of whatever pain you're having on the inside. You are also full of anger, bitterness, hatred against someone else, and you want to kill them. And this guy kills the mother of his children and then kills himself. And this is, again, this is moral insanity. Well, I got to thinking about this. Because, you know, the word of God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we know that these people have rejected God, whether they say so or not. I mean, they may give lip service to the idea of God, but these people have completely rejected God. We know that. I mean, you know it from the way they talk. You know it from their behavior. Again, this is part of the moral madness. The word of God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And, you know, it got me thinking, is that really the pathway toward this moral insanity? In other words, is that the first step? Once a person has rejected God, and you've heard me say this, a person has rejected God, and they've removed the barriers and the boundaries that God places on our thoughts, our words, and our behavior, they've removed those. Well, to me, it's only natural, in a sense, that their journey after that would take them beyond the boundaries of what you and I would consider to be morally normal, because they have rejected the boundaries that the one true and living God has placed upon us to say, this is as far as you may go. This is within the bounds of morality. This is within the bounds of what I have declared to be right and wrong. And when you step beyond that, you have stepped into a world of darkness and depravity and degeneracy and frankly, self-destruction. as well as destruction of others. And that, to me, is what we're witnessing. The fulfillment of this. You know, Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You know, and I got to thinking, there's another way of saying that is, the nations that forget God become morally insane, and they create a society and a culture that is hellish. I mean, does that make sense? Because that's exactly what happens. A nation that forgets God descends into a kind of moral insanity that ultimately creates a hellish nation. I mean, think about this. In my interview with Marjorie Dannenfelser, I was asking her what she thought about this. I said, you know, abortion's always been wrong, and I would never argue otherwise. However, in the early stages of the debate, it was really argued as more of a necessary evil, more of a right that women should be afforded, because otherwise they might be forced into circumstances and situations that they have not chosen and that are beyond their control. Now, mind you, I don't buy that argument, but that was pretty much the argument, right? It was pretty much, this is just necessary. This is something we must do. And you cannot take this option away from women. But now here we are, 50 years after Roe v. Wade, even though Roe v. Wade has been overturned, and we're no longer hearing from the other side, this is a necessary evil, abortion must be safe, legal, and rare, as Bill Clinton coined it, rare. Now it's shout your abortion, celebrate your abortion, celebrate the killing of your unborn baby. The more you kill, the better it is. You know, rallies in which women brag about how many abortions they've had, and it's descended, hasn't it? I mean, it's wrong from the very beginning. So from the get-go, it's wrong. But it's not left at a kind of, well, we accept it's not good. We accept it's not ideal. We might even accept that it's not morally right, but it may be necessary to, not only do we accept it, we declare it to be morally right. We declare it to be a good thing. We declare it to be a wonderful thing. We declare it to be something that ought to be celebrated. When what they are doing is literally snatching the life out of a living human being for whom God has a divine plan that he had in place before the foundation of the world. And they step in and play God and kill that person. As I've said before, because to me the quintessential pro-life question is, when did you become you? When did you become you? Or you could ask that question in the reverse, when were you not you? In other words, was that not you at conception? Well, then if it was not you, who was it? You had all the DNA. You had all the blueprint of who you would become. Who was it if it weren't you? I mean, is it at 1 month? Is it at 6 months? Is it at 35 weeks and 29 days? I mean, you see, it's a question that only has one obvious answer. It was you from the moment of conception. But we are told, no, it's not a person. It's not a human being. It's nothing. I mean, I have more respect for Bill Maher, who at least said, yeah, I do believe that abortion is murder, but, and I'm okay with that. Well, again, that's moral insanity, but at least it's honest. At least it's honest. He acknowledged, yeah, you're killing a person. But I'm okay. He's hot, but I'm okay with that. You know, in my view, there's more hope for him than it is for the person who lies to themselves and lies to others and says, it's not a person. That's not a person. But this is the kind of moral madness we are facing. And I'm going to get to in a second what we do about this, but I just want to continue to drive this theme home. I'm sure that you heard recently, Cory Booker, in his basically in a screeching speech that he sometimes, you know, Cory Booker is a dummy. He really is. He's just a vacuous man who, for whatever reason, well, of course, you look at the last election in New Jersey, and you just kind of wonder what are they drinking in New Jersey and New York to elect Mamdani, and then this recent Marxist woman that they just elected, who's just radical on everything. You just wonder what in the world. I know what they're drinking. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's being poured out by the gallon. But Cory Booker in this screed to the Democrats, the Democrat Women's Caucus Legacy Luncheon that he spoke at, screamed, there is a darkness in the wind. People are getting hurt. There's a storm in our nation. And then he goes on to say this, what we need is not from on high. He actually said that. What we need is not from on high. Now, again, you see what I'm getting at? He didn't have to mention God at all. He didn't have to make reference to that at all, to God at all. But he felt it incumbent upon himself to, in effect, say to this group, we don't need God. Because that's what that's saying, right? What we need is not from on high. Most people would be saying, if they think things are that bad, we need help from on high. I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Not Cory Booker, no. No, we don't need, what we need is not from on high. We don't need God. Well, yeah, I guess you don't need God when everything you want to do is against him. And everything you don't want to do is in defiance of him. But that's the moral insanity. That to me is the source of it. Like I said, Jerry Nadler telling, I think it was Chip Roy, if I'm not mistaken, who's reading a passage of the Bible on cross-dressing and all of that when they were debating some of these so-called transgender issues. And Jerry Nadler says, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, in effect, yeah, well, what God or anybody or any other thing from any other religion has to say is of no relevance or interest to this body. Well, what he meant was, is of no relevance or interest to me. He was chairman of the Judiciary Committee at the time. He's saying, I'm not interested in God. I don't care what God has to say. It's like Cory Booker said, what we need is not from on high. Well, then what do you need? Well, apparently what they need is something from the depths of hell. And that's what they're reaching for. Whether consciously or not, that's what they're reaching for. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, I always had my misgivings about her, to tell you the truth, because I always thought she was a little bit off the mark. But she's now saying that the Butler assassination attempt on President Donald Trump was a hoax. So I guess she's joining Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson in the conspiracy theories of the day. I mean, whatever they happen to be. And the man's on trial. You know, I always say these things are often simpler than people like to make them out to be. One person determined to do evil can accomplish the most horrendous of acts. One person, one determined person. But with these people, no, there's always got to be some cabal and some complicated explanation, and it's not what it appears to be and all of that. But again, this to me is the moral insanity. Because see, what you end up doing is you absolve the person who's committed the act, and you got to find all these other secret players behind the scenes who are responsible. Because the person who did it is not really responsible, or they didn't really do it at all. Somebody else did. This, again, this is not a Democrat versus Republican deal. Because there are some Republicans, as well as just as there are some Democrats, who have just completely gone off the deep end. And frankly, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of them. Just completely gone off the deep end. Remember, Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson were thought to be conservatives and thought to be Republicans as well. Maybe they still consider themselves Republicans. I don't know. I can't get into names in revealing this, but what I'm about to tell you is the truth, and I know it to be true. Not what I heard. I know it to be true. Candace Owens went on the air. Oh, well, I know Candace Owens, too. I mean, not that we're bosom buddies or friends or anything, or ever were, but we worked together. We were at events together. I spoke at her Blexit events on several occasions, I think at least three. In fact, when she and I were on the phone one time, she wanted me to come to Atlanta, and it was going to be a difficult thing for me to do. And well, she went out of her way and had a limousine pick me up at the airport to get me where I needed to go. And I mean, all of that. It was, you know, she took an extraordinary length to get me there. So I'm saying, I do know Candace. I mean, again, not that we've been social friends or anything, but we've talked on numerous occasions on the phone, and I've met her at events and done her events. But I have to be honest, folks, I always had my misgivings. Now you may say, well, then why did you do it? Because it wasn't anything I could put my finger on to say, well, there's something, I know there's a problem here, and I'm not, or something that I thought disqualified me from supporting what she was doing. Because at that time, of course, Blexit was focused on trying to get black folks to leave the Democrat Party, which I'm still committed to seeing happen. But so I was in agreement with that. But then I noticed she sort of wove in this whole homosexual thing. And she wanted her word, and the words of others. Now, I don't use the word gay, but you know what? We got to get gays to come out of it. What do they call that? I can't remember what they had a name for that. But at any rate, I never sanctioned that. And people would sometimes ask me, they'd say, well, you know, how come you don't have Candace Owens on your, in fact, on this very network, people would say, not people on the network would say, but you know, some listeners would say to me, you ought to have Candace on. And I would say privately, and I wouldn't say it publicly, because again, I didn't have a specific charge of some kind, but I would say, you know, I'm really not comfortable with that because I just don't know where Candace is spiritually. Well, I think now we know where Candace is spiritually. She's confused. So I said all that simply to say, and so is Tucker Carlson. I said all that simply to say, I'm not making this a partisan thing where, you know, all Democrats are bad, all Republicans are great. No. The distinction between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party is not, well, one has all good people and one has all bad people. That would be ridiculous. Now, the distinction is that the Democrat Party has a platform and a program that is utterly demonic. And the Republican Party, up until now at least, has a platform and a program that is consistent with biblical values. And that's really the best you can say. As I've said many times, I am a Republican. But I'm not a Republican because I just think the Republican Party is just the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm a Republican because I believe in most of what's in the platform, at least the most recent iteration of it. And I'm a Republican because I have so many allies and friends. And it's a place for us sometimes to come together when we need to try to help impact public policy in a way that is consistent with our biblical values. That's about as far as my loyalty to it goes. Unlike what appears to be the loyalty that people have to the Democrat Party, which is, they'd sell their child to keep the Republican Party afloat. I mean, it's bizarre. And no matter what they even people claim to be Christians, no matter how far off that party goes, they continue to adhere to it and to give their loyalty to it when it is clear that it is an enemy of God. So, but again, in my view, it has become morally insane, and many of their candidates are morally insane. The Montana Supreme Court just recently ruled that if you are a transvestite, we don't use that term anymore, but I guess transvestites, transgender, whatever term is in vogue these days, you can get your birth certificate changed. So basically what they're saying is government officials are now required to lie. You were born with the XY chromosome. You were named Gordon Snodgrass, born with the XY chromosome, born with male genitalia, but you decide that all that's wrong and you're going to change that. The state will go back and allow you to change your birth certificate so that it reads Gale, which is a lie, so that it reads female, which is a lie, and so that you can now present that lie to people and have them believe somehow that you were born as a female. I mean, this is really what you call now officially sanctioned lying, because that's what it is. But see, this is what I mean about the moral insanity, because they would point the finger at you and me and say, oh, no, you're the one. You are the one lacking in compassion. You're the one who is insane because you won't allow these people to fulfill their true identity and you want them to kill themselves. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of nonsense you get. The Montana Supreme Court has now joined in with this insanity. And basically said, that the biological reality of a person's birth may be completely ignored, and documents may be falsified to meet their delusional claims that they are, in fact, the opposite of the gender that they really are. Now, you see what I mean? That's moral insanity. That to me is like telling a child, oh, you want to change to a new gender? Okay. But look, so Johnny, you want to be Jenny? Okay. Well, listen, Jenny, we won't tell your parents. We're going to keep it from them. So let me coach you. If your parents say anything, here's what you ought to say. So you teach the child to lie to its parents. which is in direct violation of the word of God. I mean, it's the direct violation of every bit of common sense one can muster, because those parents are ultimately the one who love that child, will protect that child, will help that child, and are looking out for the long-term interests of that child. In the normal course, normal parents would be. But oh, no, no. The state steps in and says, oh, no, no, no. No, we don't believe that, and we don't accept that. We are best at that, and we will teach the child to deceive his or her parents so that we, the state, can carry out what we believe is best for the child. Which, again, it undermines trust. It undermines the importance of truth. It undermines the sacred bond between parents and children. And it, in fact, elevates the state to serving as God. And because, in effect, the state says, like in Montana, the state says, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But you're all hung up on biological reality and truth. We will be the final arbiter of what is true. Thank you very much. See, what God says is true is true. What God says is a lie is a lie. But the states now want to take, the state wants to take on that role and say, no, 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 no. What we say is true is true. Even if every bit of evidence and every scintilla of reality says the opposite, we will declare what is true and you must accept it. And we will declare it in the face even of what God says is true. Because their attitude is, when it comes to what God says versus what we say trumps what God says. What we say, forgive me, President Trump, I won't use the name the name that also implies the word that also happens to be your name. No, what we say is true, and what we say supersedes what God says. Now, that's moral insanity. But that's what we've got on our hands right now. You all have, I'm sure you've heard, we're coming down to the final moments of this, because I want to get into, you know, what we're going to have to do about this in addition to voting. And by the time you all hear this program, the vote in Virginia, for example, based upon the lies that, again, Democrats have told to the public, which is, if you vote yes for this referendum, you're voting for fair elections. And their view of fair elections is, we're going to create 10 Democrat districts in Virginia and only one Republican district. And that's what they're calling fair elections. This is a temporary measure to give us fair. I mean, it is a contemptible, palpable lie. And it's just so obvious. But they've got other people coming on, you know, veterans and other. I mean, they got people coming on just lying about it. And see, what they're trying to do is they say they're offsetting what Texas did. They're offsetting what. But this is not Texas. This is Virginia. And their job is not to try to offset something that Texas did. Their job is to serve the people of Virginia. But see, again, they don't believe that either, because they're not serving anybody except themselves. By the way, if you happen to be in Virginia and you haven't voted yet, I have. You know to vote no on this April 21st referendum, because this a yes vote, I don't even believe I could begin to overstate the devastating impact this is going to have on the Commonwealth of Virginia. I really don't. I don't think you can overstate it. Because I think it will further these people. It will drag them deeper into their moral delusions, and they will get worse. Because right now, raising taxes, restricting Second Amendment rights, expanding the ability to kill unborn babies, sanctuary policies to to protect rapists and robbers and murderers who happen to be illegal aliens under their protection. I mean, and on it goes, again, with the moral insanity that we are dealing with. But I'm sure you also are aware, now this is primarily in Washington, D.C., but remember, Northern Virginia borders on Washington, D.C. And in many ways, it is difficult to distinguish between the two because what Washington, D.C. has completely invaded Northern Virginia, and that's why our state is in the trouble we're in right now, because of Northern Virginia. But you have roving bands of marauding kids who are beating people up, sucker punching people, destroying cars, destroying property, 50 to 100 of them, defying the police. I mean, just basically trying to create anarchy. And the sad thing is that not only are these minors, these are kids, these are teenagers, 14, 15, 16 years old. That's sad enough. But it is also true, and most people won't say this because they'll be afraid to say it. But the fact of the matter is that what we are witnessing is a black phenomenon. These are overwhelmingly black kids doing this. And look, I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is why I really do want you to pray for us and ask for your support. We have created something called the Family Restoration Institute to address these kinds of problems. And if we had more resources, I think we could have a profound impact on the inner cities of this country, because these kids are not out roaming these streets, hurting people, destroying property because they're oppressed and because they're victims of racism or because they're victims of poverty. In fact, when you look at the video, you see they're pretty well dressed. No, they're doing this because they come from broken families and they don't have fathers in the home for the most part who teach them right from wrong and teach them you are not more of a man and you are not authentically black by going out and attacking innocent people and destroying property and destroying, attacking people in their vehicles and all that. That doesn't make you more of a man or more of a woman. That makes you an animal. Now, see, most people can't say that. Oh, that's racist. Well, no. If the shoe fits, wear it. Because that's not inherently who God made you to be, but if that's the way you want to act, somebody needs to call it out. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We weren't made in the image and likeness of a wild dog. But sadly, some people think that somehow they are fulfilling some destiny that they have to act like a wild dog. There's no law and there's no incarceration that can solve this. Although, believe me, we need to implement and enforce the law and lock these people up. But the real solution is we've got to rebuild families so that these people are taught what it means to be a productive, law-abiding, not only citizen, but just a decent human being. How about that? Just a decent human being. But this is the insanity. You know what you get with this stuff? Justification. Oh, well, we don't understand. You don't know what they need reparations, slavery. You'll get all kinds of cockamamie nonsense explanations and justifications and excuses for this stuff. Boy, they ought to teach in these liberal schools a course called excusology. In fact, they ought to give a PhD in it, because liberals have them already. Really, we did just give them an honorary doctorate in excusology. Particularly if you're dealing with the behavior of any black folks, and you know, oh no, we don't understand. Oh no, and look, and I realize there are circumstances that put people in a bad position where they've experienced nothing but bad and that's the only thing they know to act on. I understand that, but that doesn't mean they don't get punished for it. But in the meantime, I also know the long-term solution so that this stuff is not happening is to rebuild families. We've got something called the Family Restoration Institute. I'll be talking about that at the dinner, by the way. And we have got to do something about the long-term stability of the family. Look, we are celebrating our 250th anniversary as a nation. How much farther do you think the nation can go if we allow this continuing deterioration of the two-parent married monogamous family, a male and a female, not two men and not two women, but a man and a woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, because that's the only way it's possible, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to be good people. But again, the moral madness says, who do you think you are? That's discrimination, and that's homophobia. And that, you know, please. More moral insanity. So look, I'll just briefly say this. We have to pray, and you all know that without me even having to say it. But you know what? We have to unapologetically continue to assert the truth. You know, part of what you have to do when unreality and fantasy is being asserted, you have to assert the truth without apology and with equal or more force than those who are asserting the lie. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You know why? Because lies put people in bondage because they believe things to their own detriment and to their own destruction. And then we have got to be fully engaged. I mean, they say our situation in Virginia is what it is because a lot of people simply didn't turn out. Well, faith without works is dead. We can't pray and then talk, but then not act. God's not going to just miraculously deliver us in these. I said this is a spiritual battle, but it's fought in a political arena. We take the truth of God's word and the truth of our faith and prayer, but then we have to act that out in the arena in which the battle is being waged. We've got to walk that thing out. We can't just sit back and say, well, you know, I prayed about it and, you know, I know what the word says. Well, it's election day. What are you going to do? I'm going home. I'm not going to get involved in all that. Well, then just get ready to have your liberty and your rights trampled, because that's exactly what's going to happen. In fact, it already is happening, as I'm sure you know, here in Virginia, the restrictions that they're putting on gun ownership and on what you may or may not own. I mean, it has already gotten to be ridiculous. I mean, and to the point where even if you own a gun that has more, a gun that uses a magazine that has more rounds than legally allowed now, and it's grandfathered in because you got that gun before, I think it's July 1st, 2026, if I'm not mistaken, that's the date. Even if you got that gun before, you got to prove it. You got to prove you bought it before. Where's your papers? I mean, talk about a state power grab. And these people are pointing the finger at President Trump. President Trump is a freedom-loving patriot. And when he finishes in office, he's going to fade off into the sunset. But I tell you, these people are working very, very hard to create a framework of tyranny that will oppress the American people for generations to come, if we allow them. It's like in Virginia. What are they trying to create? A one-party state. Who always tries to create a one-party state? Communists and tyrants. I suppose you could include fascists in that, but fascism is just the other side of the coin of communism. But tyrants always want a one-party state. Well, I've got to go. I've gone way over the time that I intended, but as you can see, folks, I am profoundly impacted by what is going on in our culture, and I know that it's going to take us as believers to do something about it. And thank God for American Family Radio that allows you to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. So look, pray, proclaim the word, but get engaged, get involved. I've said, if I have to be the last person standing up for the word of God, if I have to be the last person, I know I won't be the last, don't mind. I'm not claiming that, but I say, if I had to be the last person standing up for the word of God, for our Judeo-Christian heritage and values, for our flag, for our Constitution, I'll do it until I breathe my dying breath, but I will never give up. I will never give in. I will never back down. I will never walk away from my responsibility as a child of God and as a citizen of these United States of America, ever. And I hope you will join me in that. So God bless each and every one of you. You know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.